This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
My enemies are many. My equals are none. In the shade of olive trees, they said Italy could never be conquered. In the land of pharaohs and kings, they said Egypt could never be humbled. In the realm of forest and snow, they said Russia could never be tamed. Now they say nothing. They fear me, like a force of nature, a dealer in thunder and death. I say, I am Napoleon. I am Emperor.
You have an ego. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you are here for a purpose to enrich the world. Your destiny is in your mouth, in your mind. Once you receive that level of confidence, and it's practiced properly, it will surpass a genius. There's nothing more supreme than confidence. Confidence breeds success, and success breeds confidence. Applied properly, you're inconquerable.
I'm the best ever. Nobody's like me. Too strong. Guys, too strong. Too weak. Too strong. Too fast. Our condition, no limit. Limited condition. My right hand, coach. Close the mountains.
Right around 2010, 2011, I went through this huge spiritual thing where I became obsessed with the power of the mind. And I got into it deep, like really deep, just meditation, visualization, and just realizing how powerful our minds actually are, like how we really do paint our world with our thoughts and our level of self-belief. And so, right around 2010, I took myself from being very average-minded to actually believing that I was the shit and believing that I could be the shit and that I could be the GOAT and be the greatest and never lose. And to, like, I took myself to a different place mentally, and a lot of it came from mental practice and meditation and visualization and just seeking knowledge from people who are strong believers. Became really obsessed with just learning about the power of the mind. So I used to meditate. Now I just kind of, I have a lot of things that stuck with me, a lot of ways of believing that stuck with me, that just subconsciously I know who I am, what I'm capable of, and how I believe, how powerful my mind actually is.
Whenever I talk to an up-and-comer or my friends, or I see people training, and they're training hard or doing this and that, and I'm just like, bro, this is crazy. Like most of us is in the UFC already, right? I was like, guys, there comes a point where, like, you're pretty much good. Like, everything can get you by. You got here already. But now the only thing different that's going to get you to the top 15 is mental. And then from 15 to 10, the only difference between those guys is mental. And then from 10 to 5, same thing. And then from champion and everybody else, it's a mentality thing. It's just something that to do with IQ and something. That's the only thing that changed. Like, we're all good. We're all at the mecca of fighting. The UFC is where everybody wants to be. But what makes you a champ? What makes me a champion? You not. Something gotta be it. Like, you can lift more weights than me, though. You know what I mean? Like, if we're the same weight class, you're stronger than me. You're faster than me. What is the difference?
What is the difference?
I believe it's that passport. It's crazy land. It's that mental. It's that thing. Like, I'm willing to do something that I don't know if you even thought of doing it, or if it's presented with you that if you're going to take that chance, you know.
And it's that, but it's also you're willing to put the intensity into your training camps and the focus and dedication into your craft,
yeah,
that maybe some people aren't. And maybe sometimes people that are really talented, things come a little too easy for them and they don't want to work as hard.
Exactly.
It's a good separation for me, you know, emotionally, to be able to put myself in a place where at practice or when I'm training or during games, I switch my mind to something else. Switch my mode into something else, right? For me, it's the equivalent of Maximus Decimus Meridius and Gladiator picking up the dirt, smelling the dirt, it's go time, right? So that was my mental switch. It was like an actor getting ready for a film. You got to put yourself in that cage. When you're in that cage, you are that character. Then when you leave there, it's something completely different. But when I'm in that cage, bro, don't touch me, don't talk to me, leave me alone. There used to be certain games, like for like certain key games, I used to play the Halloween theme song over and over and over in my headphones. And it was important that it was Michael Myers, because the mask itself was void of emotion. He is stone cold killer. And I would listen to that song over and over and over to get, that's when you know you better run.
I'm the king here. I was saying a long time I'm gonna come. For everybody, I kill everybody. You believe me now? Everybody, I come here for everybody. Kill everybody. I'm the champ, I'm the king here. So what now? Say something. So what now? I'm the most dangerous guy here. I'm gonna come here for everyone.
It's the mark of a great fighter when he has character plus skill. Because a fighter with character and skill.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
will often rise and beat a better fighter because of this. Character is that quality upon which you can depend under pressure and other conditions. Character makes the fighter predictable. Character helps him win.
And then one day he used to say, listen, you have the chance to change your life, your family's life. You could be something very special. Don't you want to be champion? You could be champion of the world. And I didn't pay no attention to it. He said, really? You could be champion of the world. You could devastate the world. No man could take what you did. You just got to believe it. I looked at this guy, and then I started thinking. I said, this guy's really crazy. He said, you do what I tell you to do, and if it doesn't work, then you could leave. So I said, okay, bet. So I did everything he told me to do, and I won. I won every championship, from the amateur championship. Oh, I won all the championships. I'm gonna cry. So I won every championship that he told me, because he told me what to do.
My mental preparations for the game were very different than most. I try to relax myself. I'm a jokester, a prankster, if you want to say it that way. I listen to music, I joke around with the guys. I take my whole mind away from the game itself, and then when the time comes to focus on the game, I focus on my athletic skills and putting it together with the team and somehow collectively going out and doing our job each and every day. I challenge myself to be the best basketball player every moment that I'm playing the game of basketball. And sometimes that means tricking yourself in your mind to say that you can't do this or your weaknesses are here. But yet you still try to work on improving those weaknesses. A lot of people may say, well, Michael Jordan never had weaknesses. Michael Jordan had weaknesses. He just had to dig deep inside himself to figure out what they were and challenge himself to improve those weaknesses. So mentally, I like to challenge myself to go out and play a perfect basketball game. Although I know you can't do that. It's practically impossible to play a perfect game, but that doesn't mean you can't challenge yourself to do that.
What's the game is on? I don't know where Goggins has been. I've been in that mental lab. See, there's all kind of months. Some folks got sober October. They got all kind of shit for what people go through trying to better themselves. I got you every day. Get after it every day mentality. That said, when you push that hard, you go to the well. Well, my well was fucking. The cookie jar in there has stale golden cookies. They weren't working no more. Gotta find something else. And to get that conqueror's mindset back. But I just don't give a shit about anything. Just fucking grind. A lot of people out there talk about they're missing something in their lives. And they don't know what the fuck it is. You don't know what it is because you live in a soft environment 24/7. Learn to get out of it.
For me, just coming from where I come from, bro, and like just understanding that. Man, I'm built different, period. I'm just built different, man. And I've always had an eye, a discipline and a work ethic that I've had at a young age that I just apply it to everything that I want to do. Mm. So I would say that, you know, I rarely go out, you know, reading, you know what I'm saying, trying to reverse engineer how to be successful. Like, how do I, you know, start my own production company? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I always felt like if other cats was out partying and I was home studying, I would have the edge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If Cass was out here doing this and that, being hung over the night before, I would have an edge if I wasn't. Did I go out and party? Yeah. Did I have a good time? Yes. If I'm eating food, I'll save the best for last. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'll eat around it to the one part that I really want. I want to eat. I'm going to save that. I'm a delayed, you know what I'm saying, gratification. I'm that type of person. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm literally like, all right, I will party later. I work hard now, so the second half of my life, I can do it. Mm-hmm. That's been my mentality. It's like, I'm not going to trick off my early years for partying and then worry about struggling, how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to take care of my family, how I'm going to take care of everybody else. Like, that's not going to be me. I'm going to grind it out now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to set up the foundation so I can enjoy myself later. That's always been my mentality. And that is what that works for me.
The most frustrating thing in the world for me is when normal people judge a man like myself on what it really takes to extract greatness from nothing. It takes every bit of who you are if you choose that route. If you don't, Merry Christmas. Do what you got to do. But yeah, all these things for me, like I told you, man, I'm gonna keep it real. I'm not coming here to talk about, like, you know, perform without purpose. Because I go through, when I write these books, I go through and try to dumb down David Goggins. How can I give normal people, and I'm normal, but I found something that most don't want to find. How can I speak to people and give them something from this crazy psychotic brain that I've developed? How can I give them that? So I sit down with Jennifer for years and write down, perform without purpose, callous your mind, armor your mind, the cookie jar, the accountability mirror, shit that people can use in their lives. No. I'm glad it helps you, but the barbaric life that I live, that you have to live, the almost obsession that you must have to be great, you can't put that shit in a book, bro. You can't put it in a book. You can't. You can't write about it. It has to be experienced. And you can't even, after you experience it, to write it in a book, it would seem like he needs to be locked up. It's too gory. It doesn't make sense for a guy that everything, every second of the day, he is trying to extract more from something. He's constantly thinking, he's constantly disciplined, never going off the path. Whatever is injured on him, he figures a way. It's a conqueror's mindset. And very few people, if any, can really understand what that is.
I know you're tired. I know you're hungry. So am I. And so is our enemy. Spartacus and his men fight without fear, as they have nothing to lose. We do. And that's what makes us dangerous. When I fight side by side with you tonight, I fight for my wife. And I fight for my daughter. We fight for our wives, our daughters. We fight. Because if we fail tonight, the enemy will slaughter them without mercy. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
I'm not satisfied with this. Odin gave his eye to acquire knowledge. I would give far more.
It's a wild way to live your life, to decide that for the glory and the challenge and just the overwhelming difficulty of becoming a world-class fighter or a world champion fighter, that you put yourself through so much.
It's hard to talk to people about why you do it if you don't understand it, right? Like, if you've never done combat sports or ever have that desire to fight and just be one of the best, it looks crazy to anybody on the outside. Yes. We look like we're absolutely lunatics, but yes. It's competition to us. I don't look at a fight and think, I want to kill that person because I just want to be violent. It's like, I want to be better than that person. I want to be, and I want, you know, you want to achieve something that's seems crazy to other people. And I think that's what obsesses a lot of us about it, is that you want to do something that 99% of the people in this world are terrified of doing. And walking to that cage is definitely one of the scary things. Aside from, like, anybody active military and does all that kind of stuff,
that's another level.
That's what I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That's, and any level of my friends that have served and done that, I'm like, they're like, man, I don't know how you fight and do this. I'm like, what? Bro.
Crazy.
You fought in wars.
Right.
What are you talking about?
We conquered. That's what men did. We conquered. To this day, still now, if you look at men, many of them are still trying to conquer the world one way or another. Why did you start this podcast?
Attention, make a lot of money.
Conquer the world.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying, right? Why does the CEO work 15 hours a day? Why do men give up their lives for work? Is it just for money, or is it because they feel important and they feel like they're conquering? This is what I'm saying. Men have that drive inside of them. And this is since the dawn of human time. Why did I fight? Why did men climb Mount Everest? Why did the Romans melt rocks, make swords, and walk in random directions to find somebody, anybody, and take their stuff? Like, this is who we are. So this is what men always were, and I think now that's got to be redefined. Obviously, we want to live in a peaceful society now, right? We can't just run around with swords. So a lot of the male instinct to conquer Earth is financial. I think this is why men work so hard. This is why men are so obsessed with money.
Do you hear that? Listen. Listen. They're desperate. But do not underestimate them.
They want to kill every last one of you.
But I will not let that happen. We've come too far. We have fought too hard. For too long to fail now. We are soldiers of Rome. And we've conquered half the world. And we will conquer Gaul. We will stand our ground. We will defend this war. And we will go home conquerors.
The lecture of fear goes something like this. All people are afraid. Being afraid is a very normal, healthy thing. If an individual were not afraid, I would have to send them to a psychiatrist to find out what was wrong. Nature gave us fear in order to survive. And of course, fear is our best friend. Without fear, we would all die. We'd do something foolish or stupid, which would cause our death or being crippled. Fear is something which has to be controlled. I always compare it to fire. Fear, like fire, must be controlled. And once it gets out of control, like fire, it can destroy everything around it. Not only the individual, but everything around it. But once you control fear like fire, you can make it work for you. Without fire, we wouldn't have the civilization we now recognize. The fighter who controls his fear can now function in a manner far over and beyond anything he's capable of before. Fear is your friend, and nature gave us fear in order for us to survive. And I give the example of the deer crossing an open field and coming to the forest, and instinct telling him danger is present in the trees, perhaps in the form of mountain lion. At that moment, the adrenal gland injects adrenaline into the bloodstream, the heart beats faster, enabling the deer to perform an extraordinary feat of agility sufficient to get out of the immediate danger. Now we, as human beings, in my opinion, retain these powers, though they're somewhat dormant because we live in a civilized atmosphere. But nevertheless, faced with a situation that intuition tells us danger is present, these natural assets that nature gave us to survive come to the surface. And if we don't panic, we maintain a discipline and a control over, we can use them. And they not only will help us survive the particular incident, but continued success will give us a confidence that's so strong and a foundation so powerful that in time you can get to overcome almost anything.
As soon as I come into the ring, I'm glove. No, stop it. That's not true. While I'm in the dressing room, 5 minutes before I come out, my gloves are laced up. I'm breaking my gloves down. I'm pushing the lever in the back of my glove. I'm breaking the middle of the glove so my knuckle can pierce through the leather. I feel my knuckle piercing against the tight leather gloves on the Everlast boxing glove. When I come out, I have supreme confidence, but I'm scared to death. I'm totally afraid. I'm afraid of everything. I'm afraid of losing. I'm afraid of being humiliated, but I'm totally confident. The closer I get to the ring, the more confidence I get. The closer, more confidence I get. All during my training, I've been afraid of this man. I thought this man might be capable of beating me. I've dreamed of him beating me. But I always stayed afraid of him. But the closer I get to the ring, I'm more confident. Once I'm in the ring, I'm a god. No one could beat me.
As you all know, it's a hot mother... nice heat wave. Mother Nature's a pissed off mother... But guess what? So am I. So who gives a... Today I was running, and this guy passes me in the car. And it's about 100 degrees out here, 70% humidity. And the guy comes back around and looks at me. He pulls his car by me and says, "Why the f*** are you out here?" I said, "Because you're not. Sometimes your motivation needs to be because no one else wants to do it. We need doctors. We need lawyers. We need dentists. We need teachers. We also need savages. This message I do is not for everybody. Some want to say that soft bullshit about, do you have sunscreen on? This message is dangerous. It's too hot. I'm not asking you to be like me. Do you. Stay hard."
I'm just focused. I'm just committed. You know when you say to yourself, right, you know what you've got to do, right? We all know what we've got to do. We say to ourselves, I should do it this way, or I should do this. And when you don't do that, and then you carry on, you feel, you know, like I always say, doubt is removed by action. So if you're not working, then that's where the doubt seeps in. So I knew things I should have been doing and things I shouldn't have been doing. And I still did them and didn't do them, if you get me. But now I'm listening to myself and I followed my internal instruction. And it's just given me more passion and more focus and more drive. And I'm doing what I feel I need to do, and it feels good. I feel like I'm not, I want to say back to who I was, but I'm even better than who I was.
To study that mindset, you know, and I found that the greatest conquerors that ever lived were farmers. You know, farmers, sheep herders, somebody that we weren't think that's important and stuff. And then as they became great through that, they may gave birth to great children who were born with greatness, like Alexander the Great. Listen, this is what I want to know. Why would one person think that he could own the whole world? One person. Why would he have that mind? Who would think like that?
Right.
Why would a man person, why would, that's not a in person, that's just something. When your ego's just got so out of whack, yeah. Where you just can't think rational. How do you think like that? And you're a nice person.
So when you were studying this, when you were coming up as a boxer and you're studying all these conquerors, you were trying to understand their mindsets.
Yeah.
And you were trying to apply that to your own life?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you get anything out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you get? Like, what? How did it apply to your own life?
Well, at the end of the day, they all ask God for forgiveness. Mm. All of them.
So when you're reading all these books about all these conquerors, when you're a young man and you're on your way to becoming the youngest ever heavyweight champion, and you're trying to take on the mindset of the conquerors, and you find out they all ask God for forgiveness.
Yes.
How did that affect you?
That was pretty cool. Because by that, I learned greatness was the willingness to die. By, you know, doing research on these particular individuals. And that's what they were willing to do for greatness.
Mm. And you...
You know, you heard about Achilles and stuff. Mm-hmm. He what did he want? A short life of greatness than a long life of obscurity.
Yeah.
So he took the short life. And that's what Alexander did.
When you study these people and you take that conqueror's mindset, did you get anything out of that? Did you apply that into your own pursuit as a champion?
Absolutely, because you have to listen. Alexander the Great was 32 and he conquered the known world.
Yeah,
in 10 years.
And so thinking about that as a young man.
Absolutely, I want my preeminence to rival the times that you know, in the sands of time. It's not rain with it. I think everybody should want that are competitive in the art of, what do you say, immortality.
Yeah.
And I search for it. That's what he wanted. He wanted immortality. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be known since, you know, till the end of time.
Did you ever think that maybe you were born in the wrong time? That maybe if you were born in the times of Alexander the Great, you would also be a conqueror?
No. I am a conqueror now because I've conquered myself and my demons. You know, not because I'm at that time. I'm never born till I'm born in the right time. Most of them couldn't conquer their demons. That's why they ask for forgiveness from God, all of them.
When you get to the point where you're not excited and you're able, that's what you got to tell yourself. Completely relaxed. Able to see everything that's going on. Your sense of anticipation is sharp. And that can't happen unless you're relaxed. Man who's thinking and worrying about getting hit is not going to have a good sense of anticipation.
Right.
He will, in fact, get hit. And most important, when you get hit, like you get excited. When you get hit, bang, you get excited and your head comes up, your hands. When you get hit, that's when you got to be calmest. That's when you got to be calmest, when you get hit. A professional fighter has got to learn how to hit and not get hit, at the same time be excited. That's what professional boxing is about. You got to be clever, you got to be smart, and not get hit. When you're able to do this, you're a fighter.
Because that's how you have to be. Mentally tough up here. If you guys mentally believe you can do it, your body will find a way physically to make it happen. If you are short up here, it doesn't matter what you do with these guys. It will never materialize into anything. No dream will ever become reality. You guys have got to believe in yourself. Headstrong, mentally tough. It's the only way through the bullshit here in life. Winners, the difference between them and the spectators is the winners have a belief that overrides the crowd's disbelief every single time. Their belief is so strong, even though they hit failure, they get knocked on the ass, they're finally intestinal fortitude to stand back up again, face that same challenge, learning from the previous mistakes, and make it happen. Failure, winners fail a million times. What makes them a winner is that they believe it and are headstrong. Nothing's gonna stop them. The spectators have tried it and failed it, and if remain sitting down, they don't get up anymore. Because they don't believe it enough. The naysayers' disbelief overrides their ability, potential, and mental capacity that they can be more than that.
And everything happens for a reason. Even when my dad was incarcerated and he went away, I still would hear his words in the back of my mind. Continue to work hard. Nothing is gonna come easy. I worked hard. I worked extremely hard to get to this point. And every day I know I'm blessed. I'm truly, truly blessed. And I don't take anything for granted. And nobody in here can take anything for granted. I had a game plan. And when I say TBE, it's no disrespect to no legendary champion. Because anybody, every fighter that's in this room has to feel that he's the best. If not, you in the wrong sport. My ultimate goal is to become a $100 million fighter. Once I seen guys like when Mike Tyson, and I seen it myself with my own eyes, when I seen that Bentley at the boxing gym, and I seen that diamond Rolex, I said, I want that. And I knew what it took. So I know when my opponent is asleep, I'm out there at 4 or 5 in the morning, chopping trees, working, to this day. Because I can retire today. I'm well off, very comfortable. But I got the will to win. I put on my shoes, I put on my clothes, like everyone in here. I have good days, I have bad days. I'm only gonna have my bad days in a boxing gym. Because I'm an under the lights type fighter. Because when I go under the lights, no matter how I win, I win.
I figured out somewhere along the line that there's like part of it I want to look good, part of it I want to be strong because I'm insecure. But there's also part of it that I realized that I can be my best person when I can control my own demons. And the way I control my own demons is I have to like conquer them. I conquer them. I don't want to work out. I force myself to. And I force myself to push myself, like, and it's not like a lot of like heavyweight stuff that makes you look good. It's a lot of painful shit. Like, it's a lot of rounds in the bag and like Tabata sprints on the Airdyne bike and shit like that. That's what I like to do. I like to do shit where I don't like to do it when I'm doing it, but I like how I feel after it's over. And that's what ruthless workouts do. They make you a more peaceful person. And I know that there's people that are afraid of them, and they're afraid of people that are ahead of them because they feel like those people are going to be mean to them, but it's not the case. You gotta embrace struggle, and not struggle like unnecessary struggle or horrible struggle, or you know, you got cancer or your family's poor. That's not what I mean. I mean embrace difficult tasks. Like, dig in.
There's no more time for bullshit. No more time for sleeping in late. No more time for that snooze button. We gotta move now.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.